This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey guys, this is Steve, and you're about to hear Songs with Friends number 6. This episode is a little shorter than usual because of some real life situations we had going on our end. I had to rush out the door to get my daughter for school, but more importantly, Kelly has been preparing to deal with some kind of heavy things. So I thought I'd give the floor to Kelly and let her address our wonderful nation.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I was just going to say, you know, when I first picked Simple Man, actually, I really did pick it because of my dad, and he's been going through cancer the last year, cancer treatments. And, you know, this isn't the first time he's been through them throughout the years, but we did recently find out this week that his treatments are no longer working. And so, you know, we're going to be having, you know, he's going through hospice now. So anyways, I just, you know, just wanted to share that with everybody and just, you know, makes that song that much more important to me, I guess. And just wanted to share that.
All right. As we are speaking now, we recorded our episode about an hour ago. And Kelly had kind of been on and off contact with family for the last few days, obviously, you know, prepping for her trip back home to probably spend the last of the days with her father. Kelly, I know your dad listens to the show, which cracked me up when you told me that.
He's awesome.
Because some of the stuff we say and do here is hilarious. And God bless that man for not wanting to strangle me through the through the podcast app.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to say to your father before we go here today?
Yeah, no, sure. I think that's funny you say that because my dad is ultra, you know, he's fairly conservative and whatnot, but I think he always accepts who I am and the way I am. And I just totally feel appreciative of that. So I didn't, like, in any show we've done, I've never thought about, oh, I shouldn't say that because my dad's going to be mad, which I think is super cool. So, no, and I've just been very lucky in my life to have him and thankful that I get to spend these last days with him for sure. So, yeah, just everybody think about my family. And, you know, in the end, I had a good dad, so I cannot be, you know, I can't be mad about that. So.
All right. Well, very well spoken. You know, obviously, our thoughts are with you as you you know, embark on this this next few weeks, which I'm sure will be difficult, but just know that you know, we're here, we're with you, and we care about you.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Place to Be Nation, thanks for joining us.
Songs with how many of us have them? Songs with
ones we can depend on.
Songs with Songs with.
Before we go any further,
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 6 of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is my co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. As I was telling you off air, I've been running around two cities doing errands today and just now getting settled in. Hugo, the world-famous podcasting pup, is laying beside me, so if you hear an abrupt barking sound, it's because he has gone full asshole yet again.
It's okay.
All right, guys. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, here on Songs with Friends, we go through song lyrics, kind of break down the backstory of what we think may or may not have happened, and we have some good personal sidebars, if you will, that may come up along the way. This week's first song will be a song from the 80s, which is very timely considering the Place to Be Nation poll we have going on right now, deciding who is the best 80s song. This is from The Outfield, and the song is called Your Love. Now, this song is from the 1985 album Play Deep, which, as we get into the song lyrics, I think that is an appropriate title for this disgusting album.
Oh, shit.
Now, this is one of those songs I've heard, you know, 1,000 times, never thought twice of it. And as soon as I came up with the idea for this podcast, I went to my group chat, as I usually do, you know, my five closest friends in the world, and Rich Fan, God bless him, he comes out with, "Oh man, you got to do this Outfield song." Within 10 seconds, I questioned my friendship with Rich.
All of your friends last week, you know, the Drake song wasn't, you know, top of the top of the chain of songs either.
Yeah, I associate myself with unsavory people. What can I say?
Makes life funner.
Absolutely. So starting out here, Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. Okay, right away. He is seeing an opportunity to go out of bounds in his relationship with Josie. Although this being a British band, Josie could be the male. I don't know. You know, maybe Josie's the other person's partner. I can't call it. Either way, Josie's on a vacation far away, so I need you to come here while we're left alone so I can carry on my evil deed. Kelly, any contribution to that part?
No, but I was going to say the same as you when you asked me. I was like, I didn't think I knew this song, but I've heard this song thousands of times, I bet. And I did never listen to it. And yes, this is a disturbing song. But no, not much more. Just something scandalous is going to happen after this.
Yeah, it's about to go down for sure. Now, this next part here is what actually really threw up the radar here. And I thought, oh man, look, we have to talk about this song at some point. So many things that I want to say. You know, I like my girls a little bit older. Now, in reading this, my first inclination was that the person he's singing to is young, maybe inappropriately young even.
Yeah.
But I went through some message boards, as I've been known to do, to find other people that have broken this song down. I guess we are late to this party. But some of the interpretation is that that the girl he's calling is a little older, an older woman, possibly a... I'm not even going to get into that.
Well, what? Now you have to say it.
maybe a MILF-type situation.
Oh, okay. I knew it's what you were getting at.
Yeah, it almost took a hard left turn into not being able to use the show. But either way, I mean, either he's with someone who's young and he's reaching for someone older, or he's with someone older and he's looking for something young. Either way, you know, I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then we lay it all out on the table here. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight. This is not great. You know, if you are hoping to build a relationship, I just want to use you tonight is not the opening salvo that you want to throw out there. Kelly, if
so. Yeah, this is all the makings. Oh, go ahead.
If you had a friend who maybe you were interested in and they called you late one night and say, "Hey, Josie's out of town. How about you come over? I just want to use you tonight."
Is that, no, that's is that a gonna no. work?
All
hard,
right.
Hard no.
Hard no. No,
it's a hard Kelly. No. You're about to find out how lame I am as we talk about this song, about that type of stuff. So,
hey, there's nothing wrong with morals. We salute you here at the Place to Be Nation.
Yeah, because this right here is strictly like, you know, something I'm going to say to you just to have you tonight. And that's it, the end of it. So if you're okay with that and you go with it, don't bitch about it later. But I mean, I think he's putting that out there, like just tonight. Don't expect anything else.
Yes. And going back to my theory of trying to figure out if it was an older girl or a younger girl he was singing to, if you watch this music video, it is at a maybe the same YMCA where Lionel Richie was teaching drama.
I think it was.
It is a community theater type situation where this very young looking girl with a side ponytail is painting sets. Yeah, she looks, man, if she's out of high school, I would have lost that bet. And this is a fully grown British gentleman just looking to woo this young lady in the overalls.
I think he looked pretty creepy while singing this song, just because of the how young she looked.
Yeah, I think outside of, say, early 90s TLC, any young lady wearing Oshkosh B'gosh is automatically off the... She's off the draft board, so to speak.
Yeah. You just have to take, yeah, just a pass.
Yeah, I'm just going to walk away. And, you know, she may be pretty, but no, this math is not adding up in my favor.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So this delves into my theory more about thinking she is probably too young. I ain't got many friends left to talk to. Nowhere to run when I'm in trouble. You know I do anything for you. Stay the night, but keep it undercover. Holy shit. Like, here, Josie's out of town. I'm looking to creep. I want you to come over, but you shut the fuck up when Josie comes back.
But I would have given this because I do like to, you know, find the positive. He's being honest. He's not, you know, he's letting her know just tonight.
All right. Flip side of this. Where is Josie? And why is she out of town?
Yeah.
On vacation far away? Is she possibly in Paris with Brenda Walsh and and Dean Cain? Is this a Luke Perry and Jenny Garth situation from 90210?
Oh, I'm gonna start crying. Don't talk about that. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Hey, many of summer romance or many relationships are ruined by summer vacations parents make their kids go on. You come back and your boyfriend has found someone else.
I mean, maybe he's putting on a little Sophie B. Hawkins right now to lighten the mood, set the pace, so to speak.
Yep.
There he goes.
I'm seeing it now.
Yes. I mean, it's all coming together. It says, try to stop my hands from shaking. But something in my mind's not making sense. His hands are shaking because he's nervous because he's a damn sex criminal and a pervert. That is my my accusation here.
I had different thoughts.
Please share.
I know.
Please share.
And I'm probably being generous here, but I was thinking maybe because he was a little bit confused and maybe he had feelings for her, you know? So maybe he's there now, and he wasn't expecting to feel the way that he's feeling now that he's there.
I will grant you that. That might check out.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's been a while since we were all alone, but I can't hide the way I'm feeling. I think this is a nice way of saying he cannot hide his arousal in his pants right now. Or maybe he really is lost in a glass case of emotion. I mean, who knows? That's part of the fun of the show.
Yeah.
We speculate. We could be right. We could be wrong. Until this guy from the outfield decides to email us at ptbnsongsoffriends@gmail.com. We'll never know.
We need answers. He probably didn't even write it. No, he might have.
The songwriter, you know, I'm going to look this up right now. The songwriter is a John Frederick Spinks. So let's do a couple clicks here. It was penned by the band's guitarist. So not the guy who sang it, but the guitar player who was pinning his problematic behavior on the lead singer in a classic passing of the buck. Salute, John Spinks.
I feel like they panned to him a lot in that video, too, that guy.
They did.
I feel like they showed him a lot.
Looking creepily in the corner.
Didn't he have, like, the blonde? I feel like he had, like, feathered blonde hair or something. I might be remembering that wrong.
Kelly, I love that you used feathered as the descriptive word there.
It was the 80s. So, I mean, I still see people with feathered hair.
Yeah, this lead singer somewhat resembles John Cusack in Say Anything. And then you got his buddy with the feathered blonde hair looking like every college boyfriend from every 80s movie who was inexplicably dating a high school senior. Like this evidence is damning and it's adding up quickly.
Yes. Yes.
It's been a while since we were all alone, but I can't hide the way I'm feeling. As you're leaving, please would you close the door and don't forget what I told you. Holy shit. So at this point,
wow.
Yeah, right? I mean, they're done now at this point.
Your Uber's outside, or exactly. Whatever happens today.
In the immortal words of Pauly D, the cats are in fact here, and it's time to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, this is.
I have major issues with feeling used like that, so I have never experienced this. So I just, but that would feel pretty shitty. Like, but he was up front with her. This is just tonight, so in the morning, you got to go. I guess.
Or maybe not even the morning. It's like, you know what? It's 1 a.m. You know, the Tonight Show just went off. It's time for bed. You got to go.
Oh, not even in the morning.
Not even in the morning. Yeah. You no.
You got to go tonight, like when we're done.
That's right. Ooh. I mean, you're not even dry yet. And it's time to go.
Shit. Stop. Oh, it's time to go. That's hilarious.
Just because you're right, that don't mean I'm wrong. Another shoulder to cry upon. I don't have much of an interpretation of this one. Kelly, do you have some insight as to what this line could mean?
Yes. I think for me, it's more like, I don't know, they just both feel differently, but neither of them are right or wrong. Like, she may want more, he doesn't want more, or, you know, but no one's right or wrong. It just is how you feel. You know what I mean? It's not like, that's how when I was reading that, I was thinking, you may be right, we belong together, or we could be more, but I don't feel that's going to happen because I have someone else, and that's who I'm going to be with, you know, so.
You know, that makes sense. The another shoulder to cry upon part is the part that threw me. Like, is he pretty much acknowledging that he's going to hurt her and send her to the next shoulder, so to speak? You know, I'm leaving that open to some interpretation.
Yeah, that part, I don't know. I didn't really, I didn't have anything on that either. More the first line, so.
All right, the moral of this song is do not have your young daughters around English fellas with feathered hair, because they will ruin both your lives.
Both of your lives, not just... You know, oh, that's awesome.
Your life and the life of the person you care about will just be done.
Yes.
Thanks to this son of a bitch looking like Uncle Joey from Full House.
Yeah, this song is it's pretty creepy, actually. Pretty creepy.
All right. Well, that ended much quicker than I anticipated because, you know, you can only rag on perverts for so long. So we're going to move on to Kelly's pick. This is one of my favorite songs by Lynyrd Skynyrd. This is Simple Man from the 1973 album, pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd. Kelly, why did you pick this song?
Okay. Well, I'm with you. I don't even know why I would say this, but it's like one of my top five favorite songs of all time. And it's kind of weird because I feel like this song is really more about like being a son and having a mom. But I feel like this song is always just reminding me, like, my dad used to listen to it. And I guess I just always have thought it was what I think, like, you know, how I saw my dad and the way I would see like my brother should be. And if I ever had a son, which I do not, and just kind of, you know, my vision for just a man, like the way he should, you know, what he should aspire to be in his life, I guess. So, and I don't know what it is. I could listen to this song. Like since I picked it, I've probably listened to it like 50 times in the last like 2 weeks. So I can hear it like over and over. I'll never get sick of it. So.
You know, it's a great song, and there is a lot of great sound life advice in here. Probably the most I've heard packed into one song ever. So getting into this, Mama told me when I was young, come sit beside me, my only son, and listen closely to what I say. And if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day. So right away, we have a mother who is talking to her child. This is obviously from the perspective of a grown man looking back, and the mom sitting mm-hmm. him down for this important life-changing talk. Kelly, anything further you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I just always thought about it. I always would think of this song, like my grandmother, my dad's mom, she was like, I don't know. They would just, my dad has three brothers and two sisters, and my grandmother was like the, I don't know. She was awesome. And she would like whoop those boys and whip them into shape, and they're all pretty good men, you know, or whatever. And I just kind of always would really literally think of her just like sitting. These were things that she would say to them about how they should live their life, you know? So, and my dad's dad was around, but it was like my grandmother was like, she was a boss, you know what I mean? And they didn't want to disappoint her or whatever. And so I just, when I hear that, it always makes me think of my grandma and like how I think she was to her sons.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said for being raised by a strong woman, especially if there's not as much of a man presence around. I think it takes a special type of woman to raise to successfully raise a man and lead him down the right path. I had a similar upbringing. My dad was around, but he was working or out hustling or whatever the hell it was he was doing all day. When he was home, he was essentially asleep. So, my mom pretty much took control as far as all the guidance went. So now we get into the actual advice that the mother's giving him. Oh, take your time. Don't live too fast. Troubles will come and they will pass. I think this is a priceless bit of advice here. You know, it's easy to get tied up in, woe is me, you know, I'm in the midst of the hard times right now. How am I going to get through this? But know that, you know, in most circumstances, there is light on the other side of that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just knowing that, sorry, this too shall pass, kind of repeating that to yourself will help get you through those hard times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I don't have anything. Well, no, I was just saying, like, my mom would always say, like, when we were growing up, she would always tell my brothers, like, well, and me, she'd be like, it is what it is. Like, anything that happened, she's like, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. It'll pass, basically. And she would say that about everything. I'm super high strung and I worry about shit that doesn't ever happen. And I waste a lot of time on that in my life. I wish I could be more like this, but that was her attitude about everything. It's just like, no biggie. It'll be fine. We'll get through it. Don't worry about it. And I think that is good advice to give your kids. I didn't necessarily soak that in because I think I was born high strung, but I try to tell my daughter the same thing. So
in my 20s, my mantra was just give me a minute. That's for anything. Just give me a minute and I'll figure this out. You know, I don't think there's much that I can't figure out given a little bit of time.
Yeah.
See, you'll find a woman and you'll find love. Again, don't rush to these things. It'll happen for you if it's meant to happen. And don't forget, mm-hmm. son, there is someone up above. Obviously, being written by a group of Southern men in the Bible Belt. Sure, this is, you know, references to you know, the Christian God. If that's not your thing, you mm-hmm. know, it's okay. Working in the professional healthcare setting, working with addiction, as we've touched on in the past, we teach a lot of the tenets of Alcoholics Anonymous, and recognizing there is a higher being is one of the big components of that, recognizing that you may not necessarily be the one in control, essentially relieving that yourself of that power and giving that power to someone that is greater than you, and knowing that sometimes mm-hmm. you know, knowing that sometimes it is out of your control and you have to let go and, you know, let God, as they say. Even if you're not a religious person, I think recognizing that is, you know, is somewhat important in grounding yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever it is that makes you be a better person or be a good person. I mean, if it's not God, whatever. I mean, I just think that's important too, that you have something that I don't know, that you can look to in life. And I, you know, today I think there's a lot of flack about sometimes people being religious or you want to be cautious about that. But I think at the end of the day, like when something really bad happens to a lot of people, even the not most religious, you're like, you start praying to something, you know? So Whatever that is that helps you. Yeah.
All right. And be a simple kind of man, be something you love and understand. Baby, be a simple kind of man. I want you to do this for me, son, if you can. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
You know, don't get yourself bogged down with all these complications of life. I think this is really more poignant in 2018 than it was in 1973. You know, think of all the complications and distractions we have in life now.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Even just the day-to-day, everyday stuff that any of us have access to, you know, internet, technology, phones, that kind of stuff. And then this whole culture of getting, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, all this HGTV culture of seeing people with $800,000 houses and deciding they need to build a $1.5 million swimming pool in the backyard and all that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing, you know, it's so easy to bog yourself down with these things. You see people who are who appear to be living better than you, and there's that inclination to want to keep up their breakneck pace. You know, that's not for everybody. And most of the time, it's not for those people.
Mm-hmm. No.
Would you rather be sitting on 2 acres of land and stuff you have to upkeep and be miserable all the time, breaking your back to keep up with it all? Or do you want to simplify things and have your peace of mind?
Yeah, yeah. I actually don't watch HGTV anymore for this reason, because I used to watch it all the time. And I was like, it made me just constantly feel like my house wasn't good enough. I needed this, I needed that. And I was like, this is actually depressing. So I don't need to spend $500,000 to live in this. I don't know. I just think it's crazy. And it makes me actually, I know people love it. I'm not dissing it. It's just not for me, because I feel like all it does is remind me, shit, I need to make my house better than it is. And I have a nice house, but it feels like, you know, it makes me feel like it's not enough for some reason. So.
That's fair. All right. And this kind of ties.
Plus they show unrealistic things on there. Like people that don't make, they have crazy jobs that are like not real job. I don't know what they do. And they're buying $1 million homes, and I really don't get it. So it's just like.
Yeah. I alphabetize bookmarks. My budget is 7.3 mil.
Yes.
What?
I'm like, what the fuck? Yes, some of that's a little off. I don't know what's going on there.
Like, I am a nurse working with felons with psychiatric issues. You know, I can't afford a $1 million house. What are these people making kosher straws doing to get that kind of money? Oh, man.
They only eat organic stuff. I mean, all of it. It's expensive. I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, I have so many questions. That's a whole show in itself.
See, that's what there should be, a show about behind the scenes of these HGTV people. I'll watch that.
All right. Forget your lust for the rich man's gold. All that you need is in your soul. Let's see, and if you can do this, oh baby, if you try, all that I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied. Now, I need reminders on this section sometimes myself. Growing up poor, and then when I finished nursing school, I went on an idiotic spree that I even acknowledged at the time, which is stupid. I'm like, you know what? I have money in my pocket. I'm going to get all the shit that I couldn't get when I was 12, 13 years old. So I went...
Every game system.
I did. I bought everything I wanted except for a Super Nintendo. You know, I went out and got, you know, $300 headphones and, you know, Air Jordans and all that shit, Wu-Tang Clan T-shirts. You know, all the stuff that my mom wouldn't buy me back then. And again, it was, I can't even describe what that was. It was just almost like unfinished business. You know. Once I had a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, now that I'm in a, you know, a house that probably is too much for me. And, the pendulum is swinging the other way now, where I'm like, you know what? I would really like to simplify things and get more centered. You know, maybe not have so much stuff and keep up with anybody in particular. You know, I just, you know, want to be able to live comfortably at this point. Maybe that's me getting old.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just... You know, financial burdens bring me down. I don't know, but yeah, I think there is something to be said for living within your means, for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think about this a lot. Like, my parents were always like, you know, when we were younger, we certainly didn't have money. And then I, you know, whatever, my dad became a chemist and my mom had a good job at AT&T. And it's like, they became, you know, where they were better off. But at that point I was like in high school or getting out of high school or whatever. And I always think like my parents, all of their jobs, everything, it always centered around being available to us, like making sure they were home when we were home, being at everything. Like I never had anything ever for school or my brother's sporting events, you know, like they were at everything. And I felt like they chose to, instead of worry about money or getting a bigger house, or like, I don't even think they bought their first brand new car till like we were all like in our 20s, you know? So they, I felt like they sacrificed that, but they were there, which I value a lot more. But I have a lot of friends who have wealthier parents, but their dad was like never home, never there. Like they're just like, he took no part in, you know, in my raising. I didn't really, you know, whatever, but their families are maybe better off than like mine. But I think that's invaluable. So I would have much rather had parents that were home. And right. I think my dad was good about that. Like, I think my brother was like a sophomore or junior before my dad missed like one of his first sporting events. And he was like, where's dad? You know what I mean? He was like freaking out. And I just thought, I remember that and thought, shit, you know, a lot of kids don't have that. My dad would be picking up neighborhood kids like all over the city to come to baseball and whatever, because their parents wouldn't bring them. You know what I mean? So, or they couldn't because they were working all the time. So I think that's important when you're raising kids, but whatever, everyone has different things. I would have rather had that than like possessions. So.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have a job where I only work 3 days a week. I mean, they're long days. When I do work, I'm there from 6:45 in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. But that leaves 4 days a week where I am home and can help make sure my daughter is placed as she needs to be. Today, before we recorded the show, she told me about some things she needed for school coming up in a few weeks. You know, we were able to do that at a somewhat leisurely pace, you know, and not have to rush and be able mm-hmm. to spend some time together. And, you know, these are the things I appreciate. You know, I could pick up hours and work more, but then I would be sacrificing time with her. I'm very thankful to have a mm-hmm. job where I could make more than enough money to sustain us while at the same time having that time to spend, because kids grow up fast. I mean, 18 years sounds like a long time until you look over and realize your kid doesn't have the baby face anymore. You're like, where the hell did it go?
You ain't kidding. I know. I think about that, my daughter, all the time. I'm like, she's almost 12. I'm like, I feel like I just had her. I'm like, oh, it goes by too fast.
Yes. Yes, it does. You know, my dad always said that, oh, yeah, I always figured I'd have time later. And then next thing I know, you're 19 years old and moving out of the house. I'm like, well, yeah, that's how it happens, man.
Yeah. I think a lot of parents think that, and I feel the same way. Like, my daughter is my priority for everything, maybe to a fault, I don't know, but my job is very, like, I can pretty much, like, drive her to school, pick her up. I'm very fortunate in those things, and I don't really have to have anybody else do things for her, and I'm, like, super thankful for that, because I couldn't imagine if I couldn't do that for her, I'd feel bad, you know, but I know some people can, and that's right. Just kind of the way it goes. I'm lucky with my job, too, though.
All right, moving on here. Boy, don't you worry. You'll find yourself. Follow your heart and nothing else. And you can do this, old baby, if you try. All that'll want for you, my son, is to be satisfied. Finding yourself is, again, invaluable. I think this is a great thing to tell a young person. I think by the time you're our age, you pretty much know who you are. But in those early years, trying to find out who you are, you're getting your legs under you. You're learning from your peers. You're learning from media sources, you know, TV, radio, and whatnot. It can be hard, you know, trying to figure yourself out during those years. And I think knowing you have the support of someone is crucial to development.
Absolutely. And I feel like, too, like it's weird, but the follow your heart thing, like mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, it's like we follow our head or what we think other people should want us to do or whatever. And I think that is it's a hard way to live. It's not always a reality of how you should. I mean, it's how we should live, but we don't all do it. And I mean, that's a hard thing. But I mean, I tell my daughter that kind of stuff all the time. And I feel like my parents would always be like, my dad, you know, I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy no matter what I chose to do. And knowing that I could do whatever and they would still be there. I mean, I thought that was important, but sometimes I did things that I thought would disappoint them, but he, you know, it was like, you're our kid. I want you to be happy. So do what you need to do.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important.
Very well spoken. Well, that about wraps up these two songs that we picked this week. Now, this is the part of the show where we would usually pick songs for the next episode. However, we're doing things a bit differently next time. We're bringing in a very special mystery guest partner that we won't reveal right now. It's a is a very well-known person among the Place to Be Nation members and fans alike. I gave him the baton and let him pick two songs. I will go ahead and let that cat out of the bag now. He has picked a David Bowie. Kelly, do you remember what that song was called?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, maybe. I have it. Quicksand. Quicksand.
Yes, David Bowie's Quicksand. And also Kiss.
Uh-huh.
Kiss was...
I was made for loving you.
Kiss, I was made for loving you. Kelly dropping the ball, or picking up the ball where Steve is dropping it. That is good teamwork there. So join us in two weeks for Kiss and David Bowie. A song, great songs that came out well before we were born, and those were sure to inspire some interesting conversation. Also, I do want to throw out a cheap plug for those who haven't yet voted in the ongoing poll series on the Place to Be Nation website. We are currently deciding... who is, or which song is the greatest song of the 1980s. There are daily polls going up Monday through Friday, so don't forget to check on that. That will be an ongoing series for the next few months. It's led to some great feedback, some great discussion, so don't forget to place your vote in there. Kelly, anything you want to plug?
You could just follow me on Twitter or Instagram, same KelGene17.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at NotDrDeath, that is N-O-T-D-R. Excuse me, NotDrDeath, or the show proper at PTBN_songs. And as usual, the email inbox is open at PTBNSongsWithFriends@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us for another week of Songs with Friends.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of The Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceForNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcast, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We'll be right back.